Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning, you. You all right? I hope that you are. Genuinely hope you are. Come on, wake up out of bed, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. New day, a new dawn. Let's do this. Let's rock and roll. All right, it has just ticked past 8 in the a.m. British summertime on Tuesday, the 30th of June, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band, our brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. You're basically the best people in the world. Basically. Get involved in the chat. Perhaps consider sending in a Rumble Rant or Super Chat. Press the like button. It helps the algo, right? Subscribe to the channel. If you haven't already, it'd be weird if you haven't already. Definitely do that. Get the bell on. Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate it. All right. As always, I'm joined, or nearly always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning.
Disembodied voice of the all-powerful producer there, Little Harry. Is he real? No one's ever seen him in real life. Is he even real? It's just AI generated. You're real though, right, Harry?
Maybe.
AI probably wouldn't say that, would it? All right. Should you stop faffing about, though? No need for all that fannying around. Let's just get straight into it. What is it today? Okay, so it's a bit of an Andy day, Andy Burnham day. As you remember yesterday, we talked about he was set to give a speech. Well, he then did give a speech. I feel like I've talked about it a lot already because it was actually my segment on the main podcast yesterday. And then I did a video about it for State of Politics. State of Politics. My other channel I do with Nate, Mr. H Reviews. But we'll talk about it then because it's all in the news today. It's sort of the main story in the news cycle today on Fleet Street in the British print media. So let's have a look. A little bit of football. I'll keep it to a minimum as always. I know how the fans of the Bow Show are not into sports ball particularly, so I'll keep it to a minimum, but it is in the news. We've got World Cup fever. Okay, so it's Andy's radical rewiring. That was one of the things he said. He's going to rewire Britain. Radically so. And it's coming homes. So he also says he's going to do the biggest home building project since World War II. And there's that football song, isn't it? It's coming home. It's coming home. Football's coming home, but it's coming homes. Funny, isn't it? Very, very clever. All right, the Metro. Ooh. Ooh, God. Ooh. What's it? Get away from me. Filth. Metro. The Metro. Okay. Something about Davina McCall. Don't care anything about what Davina McCall says or does ever, right? Burnham's bid to transform Britain. There he is. Laughing. He's like a claymation turtle, isn't he? Andy Bumham, King of the North. No Sternum Burnham. A weird idiot throwback. Sparks fly over Andy's radical rewiring. Kemi Badenoch, Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman who somehow finds herself leader of the opposition, whose mum just came over here from Nigeria to take the absolute mickey out of us and our National Health Service and just have her born on the health service. A complete scumbag move. And now she's the head of the Conservative Party, weirdly. She had some criticisms of Bumham and his plans. King of the North, that King of the North, vows to pull plug on rule from Westminster by handing greater control to regions. That was probably the biggest part of his plan for government, is more devolution, basically that he's gonna do a second number 10 in Manchester, number 10 North, calling it. I mean, straight away, just the logistics of it, people are saying, well, that's going to be really expensive. You need 20 loads of, 24-hour police protection on that. You have to close roads. That'll cost millions and millions of pounds. For what purpose? What real, actual purpose, other than just virtue signalling that you're a northerner? We get it, Andy. You're a northerner. We get it. You think you're the king of Manchester. He's actually a Scouser, isn't he? He's not even a Manc, he's a Scouse, isn't he? Apparently he's not going to, he's got a house in Wigan, and he's not going to move. He doesn't intend to move to number 10, Downing Street. You know, we get it, you're from the north, okay? You're going to spend millions of pounds on some weird virtue signalling thing that you're going to, how does that really change power in any way? How does that change, like, policy or how the government actually works and the quality of the policy and how it's carried out? Well, because there's a building in Manchester that you physically sit in. What? Well, just absolute nonsense. It's just student politics nonsense, isn't it, really? All right. But Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, warns of power blackout unless the PM in waiting takes helm before long summer break. So that was one of her criticisms, is that Parliament takes quite a long summer break. It starts towards the end of July, isn't it? It goes through to September, I think. Anyway, big chunk of the summer. There's just no Parliament. And he's supposed to take power from Sir Keir Starling just a few days after that. So it's a fair criticism, it's a fair point, isn't it? So, like, all that time, there'll just be, like, it'll just be, like, a bit of a limbo. You might characterise it as chaos. They're characterising it as chaos. I don't know if it would necessarily be chaotic. It would just be a bit of a limbo period, because until Parliament sits again and he starts actually doing the business of government, it will just be, well, yeah, limbo's not a bad word for it, really. Especially if we don't know exactly what he plans to do, because obviously the King's speech we just had a few weeks ago, that wasn't Andy's agenda, was it? And he may have done this speech yesterday, which was like, I can't remember, like 35 minutes long, 40 minutes long or something, which was very, very broad strokes of the brush. He talked about a number of different things, but there wasn't real solid core detail about any of it. It was all like bit pie in the sky, I want to do this, inspiration, hope, talking about hope, stuff like that. It's not like drilling down into any policies of what we're going to do exactly and the numbers involved and anything like that. So, again, we're just sort of waiting, just sitting there, twiddling our thumbs. What's Andy actually going to do? You know? It's a fair point. If he's going to be Prime Minister, shouldn't we know? Shouldn't we know? Wouldn't that be a good idea if we actually knew in any real detail? We don't need, like, a 500-page policy document, but, you know, something would be nice beyond, I'm just going to give more power to mayors. I'm going to build a number 10 in Manchester. Something a bit more than that would be nice, wouldn't it? All right, let's keep going. It's the main story of the day. There'll be more to it. We'll get to it. Okay, the Eye Paper. Oh, look, Penelope Keith has died. Harry, I imagine you've never heard of Penelope Keith.
No.
Okay, no worries. I hope you're never offended when I do that. It's just to check that the Zoomers, I'm never trying to dunk on you. It's not your fault you're 20. He's laughing. Okay. Zoomers and foreign people might not ever heard of Penelope Keith, this woman. She got cancer and is dead at 86 odd, so not a bad innings. Anyone old enough and British will know she was a staple of TV in what, like the 70s and 80s. She was in The Good Life. Remember The Good Life? Yeah. She was in that, weren't she? Margot in that. Oh, and To the Manor Ball. I quite liked To the Manor Ball. That was quite good. She was really posh, wasn't she? It's really posh. Oh, Dame Penelope Keith, actually, wasn't it? Another bit of a national treasure. A little bit. So she's died, unfortunately. That's on the front, a lot of the front pages, you'll see. Okay. Military focus shifts to drones as UK learns lessons from Ukraine. That's a story that finally the government has come out with what they're going to spend on defence. And on top of the many, 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 many billions we already spend, they wanted an extra 18 billion. Keir Starmer said, best we can do is 13.5 billion. His Secretary of Defence resigned and his government collapsed and he had to resign off the back of that. Now he's saying in his last few weeks, all right, we can stretch to 15 billion. Still under what the bare minimum the military was asking for, the bare minimum. Still under that, but a little bit more than it was. Anyway. We reported yesterday that they were talking about how they're going to build like budget destroyers or frigates, budget ones. And now they're talking about loads more on drones, like $5 billion earmarked for drone technology, sea, air, and land anti-personnel drones, all sorts of drone technology. $5 billion for that. Sounds like a lot, but it's not really, apparently, according to those in the know. All right, let's read the iPaper, because the blurb on it is about the best you're going to get. When Dan took over the other day, he says, Bo likes the iPapers for some reason. It's like, I don't like it. It's slop, like it's globalist treasonous slop, like all the others. It's just slightly better than the rest, right? Like reform. Slightly better than the Conservatives. Still containment machine. Right, so let's read it. The blurb they put on the front is usually tells all you need to know. Burnham pledges growth, housing, and Number 10 North in his vision for rewired Britain. He wanted to bring prosperity or growth to every postcode. Right, let's quickly read the blurb. Likely next Prime Minister promises a new, quote, nerve centre, quote, in Manchester, with more control flowing to mayors and councils in, quote, the biggest rebalancing of power our country has seen, quote. Rebalancing, a redistribution of resources was one of the things he said. Socialism. State-sponsored theft of those who've got anything to redistribute to people who are lazy and work shy and feckless, basically, and invaders. Great. He didn't say a word about immigration, Andy Burnham, yesterday. Not a word about legal or illegal migration, the small boats, the demographic decline, the fact we're staring down the barrel of a racial, religious and sectarian tribal nightmare. Not a word about that. Just is going to build more homes, going to nationalise more things, like the 1970s. Some weird throwback dude is what he is. Okay, going to redistribute resources. To who? To who, Andy? At the expense of whom? Andy. Right, biggest rebalancing of power our country's seen. Brilliant, great. That'll fix it, won't it? Just devolve power down to councils and mayors who will act in their own interests, won't they? Their own tribal interests, I'm talking about, like Sadiq Khan. Right, you've got the councils and the local various tiers of local government in somewhere like Birmingham. They just rinse the system, completely corrupt, rinse it, spend it all on their own tribe, and don't care about the best interests of the country at large or the native people, because they hate us, because they're foreign invaders, and they're here to steal from us. Is that a good plan? Give way more power to pockets of the country that are completely conquered by foreign enclaves? Give them the power to do, set their own budgets and spend their own money and do whatever they want up to a point. Is that a good idea? Well, it is if you want to destroy the country. If you want to ruin the fabric of our society even further, then it's a good idea, yeah. In Manchester speech, laying out his political vision, there wasn't really one other than some pie in the sky, growth in every postcode, return hope to the hearts of people. We said that a couple of times. Not Obama, mate. Hope. The audacity of Andy Burnham. You're going to talk about hope, but you're not going to talk about how we've been invaded by between 10 and 20 million people over the last 25, 30 years. But you're going to talk about hope. Okay. Sure. Just completely ignoring our demographic replacement. The most important existential question of our age. All policies downstream of that we've been flooded by far too many foreign people, many of whom hate us and are a drain on the economy. Not a word about it. This is who he is. This is who they are. This is who the left are. They want to reduce us to rubble so they can control it easier. He's not going to talk about that. Not going to talk about it, then the only conclusion I can come to is he, like all the others, want us to be in danger. An enemy of the people. Council House pledge sparks fears that it could deliver fewer homes than those promised under Starmer if it derails Labour's current £39 billion social and affordable housing scheme. Classic thing, isn't it? For example, not quite that, but a similar-ish point. If you push too hard on something, often the net result is less efficient. Like if you bring in loads and loads of wealth tax, the wealthiest people just leave or put their money offshore in some way. So you're like, oh, we'll increase taxes. Surely that just means our revenues go higher. No, they actually go lower, ultimately, net. Going to push really hard to build more homes. Actually, that's not realistic or possible. Again, it will either be a higher tax, higher spend at a time when we're already indebted about as far as it's possible to be. Just going to tax more and spend more. He'll say to rich people and the middle class, and in fact working class people that have got any sort of income, don't tell me we can't tax you more. That's Andy Burnham. Don't tell me you haven't got the money. And we're going to tax you until the pips go squeak. Because that's what you get. That's what you get for daring to own something, you filthy capitalist pig. You've got savings. Oh well. There's poor people out there. How dare you have savings? The state will take that from you. State-sponsored theft. That's ours now, one way or another. We'll get our commie hands on that. What they do. It's always what they do. Until society collapses. It's what they do, every time. Critics also raise concerns over the lack of detail on funding for his ambitious plans to deliver improved living standards and, quote, growth in every postcode, quote, over a 10-year period. Oh, yeah, he wants 10 years. His 10-year plan. Even the Soviets only had 5-year plans. 10 years, dude. Don't think so, mate. You want 10 years in power? Nah. Highly unlikely. The left of his party will hate him almost as much as they hated Starmer quite quickly, I suspect. Because when he gets into power and starts living with the realities of power and the bond markets and how badly in debt we are, realise he can't just spend endless billions on his weirdo, pinko pet projects. And then the left of his own party will despise him for that. Will they coup him out? Will he get couped out before 2029? Who knows, maybe. I mean, the way British politics has been for the last 10 years or more. Maybe. I suspect quite quickly the left of the Labour Party will fall utterly out of love with Mr. Burnham. I predict that. Okay, let's carry on. The Mirror. Penelope Keith there. She was in a programme called The Good Life, as I said. And she had a good life. One-of-a-kind TV legend, Penelope Keith, dies at 86. There she is, Margot. When she was young in, like, the 70s. There we go. All right. Schoolmates. Rashford there. And some kid from the Congo, who we went to school with, who also plays now for the Congo, because we're going to play Congo. England's going to play the Congo in the football in the next round, the first knockout round. Actually went to school together. Congolese kid. All right. Burnham's housing ambition, it's coming homes. Remember that very, very, very clever wordplay there. The Mirror, no flies on the Mirror. They're wordsmiths working round the clock. They got multiple Oxbridge graduates, did literature. Working on that one. PM in waiting promises massive drive in building of council houses. Does he? Does he? It's a classic thing. You can promise the earth but when you're not in power. You can sort of say anything within reason. Will he be able to? And again, for whom? So we can house millions of people that are invading us. I don't want that. I don't want it. There wouldn't be a housing crisis if we deported the millions of people that are here that shouldn't be here by rats. There wouldn't be a giant problem with waiting lists, with prisons that are full up, with school classes that are gigantic, etc., 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 etc. The fix all button is to deport millions of people that should not be here. Not to mention the crime pandemic. The rape pandemic. 190 odd rapes a day happening in this country. That never used to be the case in the mid 90s and before. What happened? What changed? You know, something happened beginning in 1997 to make the rate of rape in this country the second highest in Europe after Sweden per capita. He, Andy Burnham, says, Number 10 North will act as nerve centre of a rewired Britain. Oh, well done. Slow hand clap for the King of the North. Yeah, well done. Can you imagine the average person up north in Manchester or whatever going, oh, brilliant, all our problems are solved. Andy 10 will physically have a chair that's in Manchester. That will make all the difference. That will change, like, the nature of our country, the fabric of our society, our economy, our demographic nightmare we're facing. Because Andy physically sits in Manchester more often than in London. Nonsense, isn't it? Nonsense. The Daily Mail, pure slop trying to pretend it's not. Just as globalist and anti-British and anti-white as all the others trying to pretend it isn't. That was a theme tune to A Good Life there. Dame Penelope Keith has died. They've all gone with that. All right. She hasn't been on TV for like 20, 25 years or whatever. Okay. You can tell, can't you, that a lot of these papers, or all the papers, their sort of senior editors are all like my age or older, boomers. How often do they reference stuff that's from like the 70s? All the time, isn't it? They do stuff all the time. Do you remember the other day they did some sort of pun about It Ain't Half Hot Mum? It's well old. They reference stuff. They're all boomers, aren't they? They're all boomers. Burnham wants to rewire Britain from Manchester base. Okay. Would be PM plans to run country from Number 10 North. We'll keep Wigan property as main residence, not Downing Street. Oh, because Andy's a maverick. He does things differently. There's going to be a real shake-up in government and in Whitehall. He's going to do things. Get ready for change. Get ready for change. King Bumham the First and his eyeliner are going to change Britain. The Guardian. Ooh. Ooh. What's that stench? What's that disgusting smell? Oh, yeah, it's The Guardian. Yeah, it smells like feet. The Bayeux Tapestry. One bit of good news. The Bayeux Tapestry is being loaned to Britain. Is it going to be at the British Museum? I remember reading a story a few weeks ago now. Is it going to be at the British Museum? Anyway, maybe it's like being shown somewhere in the South Bank. I can't remember. But I'm gonna wherever it is, I'm going to make an effort to go and see it with my own two eyeballs. I've wanted to see that. Again, with my own two eyeballs, my whole life. I even, quite a few years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I started looking seriously at going on holiday to Normandy to go and see the beaches. The Normandy beaches for the World War II invasion. Go and see like some of the big tank traps and bunkers they've still got there. And while I'm there, visit Bayeux and go and see the tapestry there. I believe it's been held in Bayeux. Anyway. But never got round to it. Just one of those things, never actually got round to. But now that it's being lent to Britain and I'm going to go see it. Or is it Winchester Cathedral? I can't remember where they're going to send it, but I'm going to go and do it. Hopefully, maybe, even do a bit of content about it. How about that? Maybe get one of the Lotus Eaters lads with a camera, mic me up, and I'll walk along. Because I know about it in quite a lot of detail. Well, all the detail, really. I've read more than one book just about it. And spent a long time. It's all digital. There's a website where you can see it all in really good digital. You can just keep scroll along it, the whole thing. And I could walk along it slowly and sort of narrate what's going on. Or look at this bit, look at that bit. Maybe I'll do that. Okay, enough about the Bayeux Tapestry. Brilliant, though. Do you think, Harry, do you think I've got long-form content all about William of Normandy and his successors, where I talk at least in part about the Bayeux Tapestry? Yeah, it's there. All right. Burnham puts number 10 North at heart of bid to rewire Britain. It doesn't make sense to me. Where does it matter where you're actually, where your desk is? Are your policies sound or not, sir? I want policy. I want policy. I'm not interested in gimmicks. I'm not interested where your actual desk is. I say that, but his policy is going to be dog poop, isn't it? Burnham in waiting, PM in waiting, lays out devolution blueprint to rebalance broken system. All right, yeah, Burnham's going to fix broken Britain. Yeah, right. He's someone that's stuck in, like, his student politics type paradigm in his head, isn't he? He's stuck in that thing where Thatcher is the baddie. Margaret Thatcher. Prime Minister in the 1980s. Who allowed a bit of a boom. Economically, you know, the boom of the 80s. Money, 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 money. Money. He hated that. The leftists hated all of that, didn't they? They hated all of that. Mrs. Thatcher ruined the country. Not really. No, she didn't. Not really. She helped us get out of the nightmarish situation of the 1970s, where there was blackouts and shortages. And a lot of industry died under Labour governments of the 1970s, actually. But no, the left hate Thatcher. Everything she did or said ever was evil, according to them. He's still stuck in that mindset. Again, I've called him a throwback, what, 2-3 times already. I think that's a perfect description of him. You know people where they form their character and their political views when they're like 15 or 18, and they're really only the views of their parents, and that's it, and that's it, and that they never ever change, come hell or high water, despite reality, they'll never ever change their views. They were brought up in a Labour household or a Conservative household. They take on the views of their mum and dad about when they're able to properly understand it in their late teens, say, and that's it. That's it for the rest of their life. He's one of those people, I would have thought. I think that's the feeling I get. He was conditioned to have a chip on his shoulder that he's from the north from a young age. And that's it. He's still got one. It's still there. It's so massive. He's got his own postcode. You can see it from orbit. It's got its own gravitational field, the size of the chip on Andy Burnham's shoulder. The Financial Times. Burnham pledges rewiring of... Okay, the same thing. You got it. They're all going with the same thing. Hey, remember, guys, let's just talk about Burnham's speech yesterday. And whatever you do, don't mention the nature of what Jeffrey Epstein really was. Don't mention the 5th Baron Rothschild's yacht. Yeah? Definitely don't mention Ehud Barak. Click. Penelope Keith has died. Okay, yep, we know. Wimbledon started. Look at this. Look at the state of this. You're not allowed to wear that at Wimbledon. Famously, isn't it? Famously at Wimbledon, the dress codes at Wimbledon. It's one of the things it's known for, it's famous for, isn't it? Very strict dress codes for everyone. But this half Japanese, half black, or half Haitian, she's half Japanese, half... like her dad's from Haiti or something. Rules don't apply to her. What's her name? Something Osaka. And she didn't actually play tennis in that. She just came out in that and sort of posed it. Because she's obviously some sort of insane narcissist. Talk about main character syndrome. Like they said, no, don't do that. You can't wear that. This is Wimbledon, I'm afraid. Did it anyway. Some sort of weird kimono type deal. Not a real kimono, is it? But there you go. About that. Like it's a fashion show. Like when you walk out onto Wimbledon, it's some sort of fashion thing. What a narcissist. Gross. Junior doctors paid to hit £100,000, so they finally got their one. 35% increase. Medics called off strike after agreeing deal that raises their salaries 35% in past 4 years. Do you remember over the last, well, ever since the Rishi, well, longer than going back before Rishi, junior doctors keep striking, don't they? Because they insist they're not being paid enough. There's some legitimacy to that. But also, their pay is reasonably good compared to everyone else. Well, they've agreed to the latest deal. They're threatening to strike again. They got their latest deal. They're happy with it. They're now up to £100,000. Well done. Because like a lot of unions, they're completely corrupted and infiltrated by hardline leftists. See, that's the thing. I've said this before. I'll say it again. In principle, I've got no problems with unions. You might think that's odd coming from Bo Dade of the Lotus Eaters, a right-leaning voice, quite right, a little bit more than right of centre. What? Bo's in favour of unions? In principle, I'm not against them. Because it can be the case in centuries past, certainly, employers can take the absolute mickey. But the problem with unions, very, very, very often, is that they become entirely unreasonable. Yeah, they get taken over by socialists and communists, and then it just becomes a battle with trying to destroy the company itself, because they own things and they control people, and the means of production should be in the hands of the workers, not the and the managerial class or the owning class, filthy capitalist pigs. So they come in and they use the union as a vehicle to basically destroy everything. If you've got a reasonable union and the employers are being completely unfair, nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. It's just the way, isn't it? Like a lot of stuff. You know, like universities, the principle of having higher education in universities, well and good. Well and good. Oh, it's been completely subverted by socialists. And now it's just a den of subversion. Oh. It's not the concept of a university that's the problem, is it? I feel the same way about unions. All right, anyway, junior doctors have finally got what they wanted by bullying the state endlessly, threatening them and bullying them endlessly. Well done. Yeah, well done. Burnham sets out 1970s vision for Britain. It is a bit 1970s. I said that earlier. Someone else, I think, must have read that yesterday. Some opinion piece was saying that. Yeah, it is like the 70s, yeah. Like when he was a kid, basically. Again, that's why I say it. Like when he, in his formative years, when he was a kid or a teenager or a very young man, would have been in the 70s, what is he, about 10 years older than me? He's forming all his opinions then, becoming aware of the world and what's going on and how it works then. And it's all just still rattling around in his head. Mrs. Thatcher and the Tories are bad, and capitalism and ownership and anything that's privately owned, is that's the problem, that's all bad, because that's what was put into his head when in his formative years. Live in a bit of a different world now, Andy. Weirdo. Just another weirdo, isn't it? Can Labour give us, or can any of the parties give us people that just aren't weirdos? Very few are not weird, right? You get the odd one across all parties. You get the odd one and you hear them speak. It's like, oh, that feels to me like sort of a relatively normal person. Right? But most of them, the vast majority of them, are like oddballs. Okay. Starmer to shortchange defence in final act as Prime Minister. Great. Why not? Like I said, they was asking for 18. That's the bare minimum, an increase of 18 billion. And he's like, best we can do is 15 then. But just give away 5 billion a year. Right, over the last few years, 4 years, whatever, he's given something like 25 billion to Ukraine, just giving it to them. But you can't find another 3 for our defence. That says it all, doesn't it? Just not behaving and acting in our best interests. That's gone cold. Oh, and that last mouthful was gross. I hate cold tea. Like Greg's sausage rolls. When they're hot, lovely. When they're cold, gross. Same with tea. Piping hot cup of tea, lovely. Cold tea, rank. All right, here's a funny, well, not funny, it's far from funny. Funny odd, funny weird, funny gross. Little thing from the Telegraph. Look, picture of a white baby there. Should white people really stop having children, question mark? Are you kidding me? I don't even know what the angle of the piece will be. It might be, no, white people should still keep having babies. To even ask that question, to even put that, should white people really stop having children? The Telegraph, are you joking? Why are you doing this? Why are you talking like that? Again, the Telegraph, like a lot of these things, often, very often will have something or other, some op-ed, some opinion piece, saying, women, leave your husbands. Women, don't have children. White women, don't have children. States like, why it's best not to have any friends and be isolated. Stuff like that. Crazy, crazy stuff like that. Don't get married, don't have children. Be lonely. What? What? I met once, went for dinner once with a few people that work for the Telegraph. Guys, have you not got any concerns? Do you not think you're working for something that's subversive? Have a think about it, yeah? The Telegraph. The Daily Star. Just getting into slop absurdity at this point. Penelope's Good Life, yeah. Penelope Keith has died. Andy Bowman, look, they've done a cutout for you. They sometimes do that. They used to do it more, actually. Look, you can buy the Daily Star. They are treating you really like you're 6 years old. You can buy the Daily Star, and then you can get some scissors, yeah? And you can actually cut out... Look, they put a pair of scissors there, so you know. You can cut out your free Andy Burnham mask. You can cut it out there, look. Look, pop a couple of little holes there so you can see through it. Get a bit of string. You can make yourself an Andy Burnham mask. If you're not insulted by that, then I suppose the Star is for you. Anyone for PM? Perhaps is that maybe a pun on anyone for tennis? Anyone for PM? Nobody chose him either. Yeah, he's the Messiah without a mandate. Remember they were calling him that? Because he wore sandals once. And a Tory MP shouted at him, "You're not the Messiah." The Messiah without a mandate. The Express, oh, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Comic genius Penelope Keith dies. Yep, okay. Wills owes his love of tea time to grandmother. Front page of that. Prince William likes tea or tea time. And so did the Queen. All right. Okay, good. Great journalism there. Quality journalism. £2.10 it costs to buy a copy of the Daily Express. £2.10. Used to be, well, not that long ago, it certainly seems to me, not that long ago, that was like 30p, wasn't it? How long ago was that? Not that long ago. 50p. £2.10. The other day when we had the Makerfield thing, and they don't show the front pages on the day of an election, I had to physically buy all the papers. Went in and bought, what was it, 7, 8, I can't remember, 7 or 8 newspapers. They wanted like best part of £20 for that, 15, £20, I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't particularly cheap. Really, that much? I thought I was looking at £3, £4, £5 maybe. Nope. Best part of £20. £2.10 for that sort of journalism. William owes his love of tea time to his grandmother. Okay. Tory leader says country is in limbo as PM-to-be Burnham fails to answer questions. Oh, yeah, after his little speech yesterday, he didn't take any questions. It was done in front of party apparatchiks and sycophants. It was a bit like a conference where every few lines he would get a clap, or even every time he pause for breath, someone tries to start a round of applause, like at conference. Just complete sycophants there. Every time he'd make some little aside, some little attempt at a joke, everyone laughs, everyone guffaws. No questions at the end. In fact, some journalists were kept out. Completely staged. All right. Britain facing summer of no plan chaos. Okay. Bex was at Wimbledon. There you go. David Beckham was at Wimbledon. Did he take his mum? Yeah, so Bex takes his mum to Wimbledon. But the tennis is a Brit of a disaster. Did some of the Brits do bad? I don't know. I didn't watch any of it. I'm not really into tennis. I watch a little bit of it sometimes, but not really my thing. Don't hate it, but didn't watch any yesterday anyway. Had more important things to do, like work. The Times, the venerable Times. Burnham pleads for 10 years to rewire UK. I think he might be lucky to get to 2029. I suspect in 2029, I hope, that Labour will be punished the way the Tories were last time. Sort of a historic defeat for them at the ballot box. Sort of an all-time, once-in-100-years level defeat. All right. There's that kind of insane half-Japanese, half-black narcissist woman wearing a kimono at Wimbledon, which you're not allowed to do. And they told her you're not allowed to do it, and she did it anyway. Ugh. You know when people, everything about them, everything shines out about them, that they're self-absorbed to the point of having no perspective? Well, it's all about them to the point, well, I say that. Most content creators, including me, you need a bit of an ego, right? You need to have main character syndrome a bit, but not to the point where you've lost all perspective. Not to the point where you've been invited to Wimbledon and they say you can't wear that and you just do anyway. That level of it. Oh, just horrible. Horrible. Gross. 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 All right, The Sun. England can aga do it. Do you remember yesterday I talked about there was a Black Lace, that song. Do, 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 come and do the Congo, because we're going to play Congo. The same band Black Lace did aga do. You know that song? Harry, probably, no, Zoomers. Foreign people won't know, probably, Agadoo. But it's the same band, so it's a play on that. England can do it. England can Agadoo it. Okay, all right. Can't believe I even spent 10 seconds on that. All right. Sun investigation, Migrant Street. So this is a story where there's this whole street of new builds. They cost £250,000 a pop. Just going to put asylum seekers straight in them. Invaders. Asylum seekers. Are they seeking asylum? Or are they just economic migrants? Are they just chancers? Are they, in fact, just invaders? Whole new builds, £250,000 a piece. Loads and loads of people in this country are on waiting lists. Millions of native Brits are on waiting lists to get a home. Are they just going to give them to our invaders? That's what I'm calling them. That's how I'm characterising it. All right, they're the front pages. There you go. That was the last one. They're the front pages for today. Should we have a look at our poll? We look at our poll about this time of the show, don't we? Let's have a look. What did we say? Harry, you'd have to bring it up for me. We put, will Andy Burnham last until 2029? Nearly 1,100 votes, over 1,000 votes. Just ticking up to 1,100 votes. Will Andy Burnham last until 2029? We gave you yes, no, maybe. Yes, no, maybe. I don't know. Can you repeat the question? Will Andy Burnham last until 2029? 68% of you say no. That's a bit higher than I thought, actually. I thought it might be... Okay, that's interesting. That's hopeful. Keeping hope alive. 68% of you say no. 13% say yes. And 18% say maybe. Okay. It would be nice if Labour sort of properly imploded and their infighting, their civil war just got to insane lengths to the point where it's just damaging them more and more and more for when they finally go back to the people at a general election. That'd be nice. I'd like to see Labour turn into a complete S show the way the Tories did. I'd like to see that play out. if nothing else, it would mean that government itself is sort of crippled and they can't bring in loads and loads of things they want to do, which will ruin us further. Right? It was great, for example, that Starmer was hamstrung over things like ID cards. You know, like, thank God, we missed a bullet sort of thing. If his party had all fallen in line and he had a big majority to do whatever he wanted, like the early Blair years, that's not good for us. So if Labour weakens itself so that it can't really govern, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. For the time being, a little bit of accelerationism. I've said a number of times I don't consider myself an accelerationist, but I get it. And there's a little bit of me, 2%, 5%, which is an accelerationist. I understand, I fully understand the idea, the argument that it needs to get worse before it gets better. So that enough normies wake up and start voting in their own best interests. It's a shame. Hate to see my country damaged further. If that's what's required, it's a shame. All right. Let's have a look at the price of oil. We usually check in on the price of oil most days, don't we? About this time of the show as well. Should we have a look? What's going on? All right. West Texas, $70 a barrel. Brent, $72. So once again, lower than when the war with Iran started. Should we have a quick look at some of the other stories on the main website today before we move on? It's already 1:45. Let's see, we're going to build loads of drones, bigger than that, because sometimes when you say drones, people think of something like that. If you're only listening to the audio of this, it's like a little handheld quadcopter thing that's more like a toy. There's a myriad type of drones, all sorts of different designs, some massive, right? Some Iranian drones are the size of a glider. Some are massive, they're not just helicopter things, little toy helicopter things. All right, anyway. A super quick bit about football. Germany and Holland got knocked out. Two big hitters. Germany could only draw with Paraguay. It went to penalties and they lost. Germany are out. How about that? One of the biggest teams. Top five, top six, best teams in the world. Out. Holland, again, top 10, I'd say. Top 10 teams in the world. Got knocked out by someone. Oh, Morocco. Morocco knocked them out. Again, on penalties, I believe. I didn't watch it. But there you go. All right, I won't say anymore. All right, that's it. Right. Okay, I'll move on. There was one other story here I thought was interesting of note. Where was it here? Oh yeah, Trump and the Supreme Court. Yesterday, the Supreme Court made three different decisions, and two of them went against Trump, and one of them in favour. It's maybe a little bit of a dry story, but it is actually important, I think. One of them was. Trump wanted more powers to be able to replace people at the top of quote unquote independent regulators, and he won that. But then there was another decision that went against him on what was it? I read it only just before the stream started. Sorry, I can't remember. The main story, but the main take on it is that two of the right leaning justices. Justice Roberts and Kavanaugh actually sided with the Dems on it. All right, so that's the independent regulators. And the other one was a similar issue. The other one was Trump was trying to appeal a defamation case against him. There was this woman, what was her name? Carol E. Jean. Right, this is a while ago, a few years ago when Trump was in the wilderness, in the Biden years. And she said he sexually assaulted her once in a bookshop or something. And she took him to court over it and he always denied it. He always said it was this completely insane, completely nonsense, just did not happen. And the in his trial, apparently according to Trump, the judge was like unbelievably biased and basically just manipulated the trial so that Trump was found guilty, which he was. I think it was only a civil trial. It wasn't a criminal trial. It was like a civil trial, I believe. Apologies if I got that wrong. Anyway, Trump was found guilty of it. And then he tried to appeal it and lost. And then he took it to the Supreme Court to appeal it. And they've said no. He's lost that appeal, which is the end of the story. There's no higher appeal than the Supreme Court in the United States. That's the end of the story. He's got no more legal recourse. But he still come out and said, I still don't accept it. I will never accept it. I didn't do this thing. There you go. All right. Yeah, this is an interesting story. Slightly interesting. Look at this disgusting tub of of lard. It's a Conservative MP. I don't know if he's a Welshman, but it was for Wales. He's an MP for Wales. Craig Williams, probably is Welsh, actually. Craig Williams of Cardiff North. He was one of Rishi Sunak's closest aides. He was Rishi Sunak's parliamentary private secretary and an MP in his own right. He is so dumb. He, when he found out when Rishi Sunak was going to call the last election, people thought Rishi Sunak was going to wait till the bitter, bitter end, until the last possible moment. But he didn't. He called it a few months earlier than he need have done. So when that news broke, it was a little bit of a shock to everyone. And I was like, oh, Rishi's done it early. He's pulled the trigger early. Oh, that's a bit of an odd decision, but okay, all right. He, the Honourable Craig Williams, MP, obviously knew that because he was on the inside. He was in the inner sanctum of power. And he just put bets on it just before it was released. But they were little bets, basically. Look, he bet £250, £100, and £22.50, I guess, in three separate bets. He just made a bet. I don't know if it was on Polymarket or whatever. He just bet that there will be a general election, like, on this day or soon or whenever. And, of course, he won the bet because, you know. Anyway, he was found out doing that. That's not allowed. That sort of thing's not allowed. That's cheating. So one, it's just scumbag behaviour. Absolute scumbag behaviour. But then, I don't know why for me this makes a difference, but it was such tiny, relatively tiny amounts as well. Everything about it is tawdry and lame. It's not like he remortgaged his house to get $250,000 and then bet that. Like, really leaning into it. If you're going to break the rules, if you're going to break the law, go big. Go big or go home. No. You know, this tentative little bitch move. Classic. Look at the state of it. Look at the state of it. It happens a lot, doesn't it? We've talked about before, haven't we? That in America and or Israel, quite often, it seems, very often in fact, people on the inside know that something or other's going to happen, some sort of military strike, some sort of big move, whether it's Maduro or something in Iran, whatever it is. They know it's going to happen shortly before it happens, and then they just either make bets, actual bets, or they just get into the market on something. They buy some futures or some equities or some currency or whatever, and they know the way the news is going to move the market. And they just make money out of it. Like, whether you're in the military, you might be in the Pentagon, you might be in the State Department, you might be in the White House, whatever. Absolute scumbag behaviour. If I ever was privy to insider knowledge like that, I would not dream of trying to make a bet on it. Or trying to get into the market or something or other. There's going to be some big announcement about China. You know it's going to affect the pound versus the yuan. So you quickly buy a bit of yuan. laughable. And then such a paltry amount of money as well. Just no balls. Like, this is a person with no balls. A pathetic specimen. All right, enough about that. Enough. Venezuela. That double earthquake they had, at least according to Channel 4 News, 45,000 people still missing after twin earthquakes. It's like confirmed that 1,500, 2,000 odd are dead, but according to that report anyway, 45,000 still missing. That's big, isn't it? That's terrible, isn't it? Sky News, not much on Sky News. Well, here we go. Here's a story that didn't make the front pages, but I think it only happened last night. I think it might have happened after the papers went to print anyway. Look, this guy's a Ukrainian billionaire. Don't ask whether all his money comes from legit things or whether it's corruption and embezzlement. Don't worry about that. One of Ukraine's richest men and his family are blown up in Monaco. Billionaire fights for life. So he's not dead at this point. Billionaire fights for his life. And his wife loses both feet. And their son was hurt. A shrapnel-filled backpack bomb explodes in luxury apartment block. It looks like this guy was the guy that did it. In Monaco, so if anyone doesn't know, Monaco's a tiny little principality in the south of France. Tiny. It's like smaller than Hyde Park, the whole principality. It's small. Really, really tiny. And you can't live there unless you're hyper-rich, basically. Basically. Even a small flat, a small apartment, you have to be a millionaire. And loads of billionaires live there. All right, okay, all right. Because it's a tax haven as well, by the way. So it's being beautiful. It's a tax haven. All right, so this Ukrainian billionaire was either staying there or had a home there. I think it was a hotel, was just staying there. This guy, whoever he is, you imagine a Russian, but who knows, left a backpack filled with shrapnel filled with nuts and bolts and stuff at his door. And then when he and or his wife moved it and went to pick it up, boom. That may well be on a lot of the front pages tomorrow. I don't know. Okay, look at the state of this. Grooming gang ringleader, 73, who has been convicted of 30 child rape offences, cannot be deported and is set to walk free from prison. In any sane society, this man would have faced the death penalty. In my opinion, it's morally, ethically right that he's forfeited his right to life. Shabir Ahmed, 73, a key figure in the Rochdale grooming gangs, is set to be released from prison within a matter of days. Right. Straight back to the community where his victims are. If not hung by the neck until dead, he should at least die of old age in prison, at the very least. 30 child rape offences? How is his sentence not like a whole life order? In America, if it was a state where you've got the death penalty, they would give him the death penalty. And if not that, they would give him life without parole in America, wouldn't they? Or sometimes in some states, they do that thing where they sentence you to like just concurrent sentences for something like 30 child rapes. You're just sentenced to like 1,000 years in prison or something. No, we don't do that. No. You can get out. You get up to 73, 20 years, 25 years, something like that, maybe at most, and then we'll let you out. Again, in any sane society, this man would be put down. Shabir Ahmed. 30 child rape offences, and he cannot be deported. You can't even do that. That is the law, by the way. He's a foreign national. You should be deported afterwards, but no, ECHR and various other things will prevent that from happening. So, back into the general population you go. Andy Burnham talking about anything like that? Anything along those lines? Anything at all? Ever. I mean, ever. No. His record on grooming and rape gangs is to, one, ignore it, and two, on some level, to some degree, cover it up. There'll have to be a true reckoning for all this stuff. Here we go, in the Express. Autistic girl 12, raped by a paedophile whose culture may have affected his attitudes. But he's smiling about it. He also groomed a much younger girl, like a 9-year-old. Look at the state of this. A Bangladeshi man. Isn't it every day now? Isn't it every single day in this country? And just the ones that are reported. That's just the one. That's just the tip of the iceberg that make it into like the Express or the BBC or the Mail or whatever. In fact, there are dozens or hundreds of these type of stories playing out every day. And you want people want to try and tell us diversity is still a strength? Nah. Well, I think we're done with that. We're starting to get Migrant Street. Okay, all right. It's just gone nine. Let's do on this day in history. You seem to like that. On this day, down through the centuries, what happened of note? June the 30th. 1520, Spanish conquistadors are expelled from Tenochtitlan. That's like modern-day Mexico City, sort of, vaguely, kind of. Is. Following an Aztec revolt against their rule under Hernan Cortes, during the Night of Sadness, Spanish soldiers drown in the escape, and Aztec Emperor Moctezuma II dies in the struggle. I'm going to do content about Cortes and Pizarro, probably later in the year. Probably do Pizarro first, because I think, if anything, it's an even more incredible story, if you can believe that. How Cortes conquered the Aztec civilization with just a handful of men, a few horses, a few aquabuses. Unbelievable. Well, mainly by recruiting and using other native peoples from the region. But still, both Pizarro and Cortes did this classic trick of, oh, we're just here to trade and make friends. Take us to your leader. Eventually they get an audience with the leader. Whether it's the head of the Inca, the great Inca, or whether it's the head of the Aztecs, Moctezuma. And once they're in his presence, just take him prisoner. You're our prisoner now. You're in the middle of their city or whatever. You're surrounded by their entire army or whatever. But no, you're our prisoner now. You're going to do what I say. Literally a gun to his head. We're calling the shots now. And that worked. I mean, it's a bold move, Cotton. It's a bold move. I mean, one of the things, there's so much, the story of Cortes is absolutely incredible and amazing. And that night of sadness is where the Aztec people, decided to actually finally sort of rise up and do something about it, which they did to an extent, but it wasn't good enough. And one of the things is that they thought that Moctezuma, where he'd allowed himself to be beaten, certainly outmaneuvered politically, physically outmaneuvered by the Spanish, that spoke of his failure. That he and the gods would never have allowed such a thing if he was legit. You know that whole idea that if you lose in any way, that's the way the gods want it. That's the way heaven and God wants it. So if you lose on the battlefield or you find yourself taken prisoner, you sort of deserve it. There was that playing out. So the Aztec people stoned him to death. The Aztec Emperor Moctezuma dies in the struggle. He was stoned to death by his own people, was what it was. And Tenochtitlan was in like a marshy, very, very marshy area. And you had to have like reed mats to go across the marshes. And if you have to be wearing heavy armour, plate mail or chain like the Spanish were, and you fell in the water, you'd almost certainly drown. And a lot of them did that way. Anyway, there's so much more to the story. Brilliant story. I'll do it in detail at some point. All right, can't keep going on about it here. On this day in 1860, famous debate on Charles Darwin's theory of evolution is held at Oxford University Museum, dominated by arguments between Thomas Henry Huxley and Bishop Samuel Wilberforce. Not to be confused with William Wilberforce. Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. Read the, if you're interested in that, there's a book called The Voyage of the Beagle. There is, of course, The Origin of the Species by Charles Darwin. But a better book, in my opinion, a better read, is The Voyage of the Beagle. Because Charles Darwin went around the world, including the Galapagos and various places, on a ship called the Beagle. And he wrote a book all about it. And that is a good read. Okay. All right. On this day in 1905, the mutinous battleship Potemkin arrives in Odessa in the Russian Empire where soldiers take the bodies of dead crewmen ashore and join civilians in revolutionary actions during the 1905 revolution. On my own channel, History Bro, if you do that. Harry? That camera? There you go. On my own History channel, History Bro. It hasn't actually got 100,000 subscribers. This is fake. Wish it did have 100,000 subscribers. I talk all about the 1905 revolution there. More than once, actually. Got a bit of content with Daughter of Albion, talking all about the Romanovs. Whatever happened to Daughter of Albion? Talking all about the Romanovs. I talk about the 1905 revolution in some detail. I've got another bit of content. I think just on Epochs, I talk about that somewhere else as well. I've got a long-form bit of content talking with Apostolic Majesty about Lenin. where we talk all about the 1905 revolution. What happened in 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution, well, the February Revolution, and then the Bolshevik Revolution. Something like that, full-blown revolution where the Tsarist regime collapses, nearly happened in 1905. Very, very, very nearly. But just about didn't, and the Tsar Nikki and Alex held on for another few years. All right. It took World War One really to end it all. Oh, Tunguska fireball. Love this. On this day in 1908, a giant fireball, most likely caused by an airburst of a large meteoroid or comet, flattens 80 million trees near the stony Tunguska River in Russia. I won't pronounce that. Oh, sorry. Yeniseyevik. I can't pronounce that. Somewhere in Russia, Tunguska, it's out in Siberia, like completely remote Siberia, Tunguska, the Tunguska event. In the largest impact event in recorded history. There's a great bit in Carl Sagan's Cosmos where he talks all about that. Yeah, it looks like a meteor or a comet. Like a relatively big one, not sort of a dinosaur ending mass extinction event one, but still not an insignificant one. Plunged through the atmosphere, and just before it hit the ground, must have been quite close to the ground when it sort of vaporized and blew up. And it would have been like the size of a nuclear bomb or even multiple nuclear bomb size explosion. But like, I don't think anyone was killed. It's completely in remote Siberia. And as you can see there, classic photographs of it, just in a radius, in a circle shape, all the trees blown down, and a lot of them burnt. So a fireball as well. The Tunguska event. Okay, great. Imagine if something like that happened today, and it happened to be over some sort of populated area. If something like that happened, and it was over like a big city or any populated area, how people would lose their minds and panic. And I'm sort of not really blaming them, but it could happen at any time, isn't it? There's a sword of Damocles that hangs over us all at all times, isn't there? Not just like you might wake up one morning feeling ill, you go to the doctor and they're like, you've got a terminal disease. Not just that. Or you cross the road and you just weren't diligent enough and get hit by a bus. Not that, but there could just be some sort of event like this. You could get hit by lightning. There could be a Tunguska event directly over your head one day. All right. Make the best of the days you have on this earth. If there's someone out there you love and you haven't told them recently, do make the effort to do that. Okay. On this day in 1934, Hitler stages a bloody purge of the Nazi Party in The Night of the Long Knives. It's a classic bit of history, isn't it? When the SA under Ernst Röhm were getting a bit too powerful. Ernst Röhm was actually a bit of a lefty. You know, there's this debate that goes on. Were the Nazis socialist? They were called National Socialists, weren't they? Were they socialist? Well, I'm in the camp. I've always argued that not really. However, they're much, much, much more nationalist. However, there were certain elements, particularly to their economic policy, that were kind of socialist, kind of. I wouldn't call them socialists in the true sense in any way, nonetheless. Anyway, in the early days, it was a very deliberate gambit to try and get support from socialists and leftists in Germany. Claim we're part of the left. We despise Bolshevism, but we're actually socialists in some ways. And some of the early Nazis were basically socialists. Well, national socialists. There's many, many different stripes of socialism, aren't there? Just as there are many, many different stripes of communist. Anyway, Ernst Röhm was one of those that was a little bit... I mean, not a lefty, that's not... It's complicated. Anyway, apart from anything else, he was getting too powerful. Hitler wanted the SS to be much more powerful in the party, in the movement. And the SA was... It was too big, too powerful. And Ernst Röhm was gay. Like, full-blown, like, degenerate gay. Not just in a nice, stable relationship with a man. No, he was like a party dude. The rest of the Nazis didn't like that at all. They turned a blind eye to it a bit. But there was a number of reasons why Ernst Röhm and the SA was a problem. A number of reasons. Mainly to do with a power struggle within the party. Okay, so he had to go, along with a handful of others. When Stalin got wind of that, he was like, oh, okay. Good. This Hitler guy isn't a complete weakling. Noted. On this day in 1997, British lease on the new territories in Hong Kong expires, established by the Second Convention of Peking. I remember that clearly. They had Chris Patton, Lord Patton, go over to Hong Kong in like some big formal ceremony and hand Hong Kong back to the Chinese. So he controlled it for like, what, 100 years? Or nearly 100 years, something like that. Just hand it back to them. Well, I guess we did only ever lease it from them. All right. Let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Sorry to 10 past. Let's have a quick look. Can we do our Rumble Rants? Will Global Church History be at number one? I wonder if he is. He usually is, but not always. Let's have a look. Oh, no. Thought I saw, though. Harry, can you bring up the YouTube and Super Chats for me? The YouTube ones. Yes, I thought so. Usually Global Church History, Christian name Global, middle name Church, surname History. Usually it's a Rumble Rant, but he's done a... Before I say, oh, he's failed to be in at number one today, he hasn't. He's just done it on YouTube instead of Rumble. So... No flyers on Global Church History. But okay, so we do the Rumble Rants first. And on the Rumble Rants this morning, we've got Jeffrey Farnall, who says, when you are Lord Protector, which royal dynasty would you restore to replace the House of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha? Saxe-Coburg-und-Gotha. Wessex, the House of Wessex. Yeah. Saxe-Coburg and Gothas, or the House of Hanover. They're Germans, aren't they? I mean, they really are full-blown Germans. George I never spoke English. Right before that, what, the House of Orange? Obviously Dutch. Before that, what, the Stuarts? They're Scottish. Before that, the Tudors? They're Welsh. The Tudors are Welsh. Oh, yeah. Come from Welsh stock. Yeah. Before that, the Lancastrians and the Yorkists, cadet branches of the Plantagenets, they're all French. About time you had a bloody Englishman on the throne, innit? About bloody time. Let's go back and have an actual Anglo-Saxon on the throne for once. The House of Wessex. All right. GWFF. Morning, Bo. They say morning. Just a gentle reminder, as I've caught you saying on today's show once and the Lotus Eaters podcast yesterday once, that no Sternum Burnham wears eyeliner when in fact it's guyliner. Guyliner. And mascara. Got mascara in it. Yeah. That's funny. I should try to say that more often. Can't say it every time. Well, why not? I can, can't I? Okay. Tomrat247 says, Tenacious B. The greatest morning show in the world. Tenacious B. In defence of us Northerners, we were once the powerhouse of Britain until modern monetary theory Keynesians pushed capital over manufacturing, which killed off heavy industry here. There's much more to it than that. It's not just Margaret Thatcher's monetary theory. But I don't think you were saying that necessarily. Keynesianism, John Maynard Keynes is sort of the post-war period, isn't it? Okay, and so it was Clement Attlee, actually, right? The Labour government directly after World War II, Clement Attlee, literally got John Maynard Keynes to tell him what his economic policy will be. Actually, the destruction of industry in the North, both Labour and Conservative are responsible for it. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest. They both blame each other, don't they? And of course, we're right of centre here, right-leaning here. So my tendency would be to blame Labour first. But let's just be honest, both of them, since the war, they're both responsible for ruining the North's prosperity. Yeah, and a fair bit of it is sort of the Keynesian view of economy could be to blame in various ways for it. It's a fair point, actually. Yeah. Yeah, during the Industrial Revolution, big swathes of the Midlands and the North were the powerhouse of Britain's prosperity. Yeah, absolutely right. What a shame. There's no reason, in theory, in the laws of physics, there's no reason why it can't be again. If you had the political will, the vision, the worldview to do that in various ways. Okay, we're going to change our society and our economy so that we manufacture things again and have heavy industry again. Oh yeah, it's more expensive than buying steel from China or whatever. Yeah, it's more expensive, yeah. Okay. Real shame. Make the North great again. It's not that I'm against that. Of course I'm not against that. I'd love Britain to be prosperous. I'd love there to be prosperity in every postcode. Yes, please. Is Mr. Burnham's plan going to achieve that? I doubt it. Okay, Fallen Firebird says, pardon me, our unique problem, the chimeric abomination of parasitic socialism and exploitative hyper-corporatism ruling the liberal West, both of which dovetail in their desire to destroy the European peoples. Yeah, little bit of a mouthful there, but I can't fault it. Parasitic socialism and hyper corporatism. Yeah. Is there like a worse sort of marriage made in hell than corporatism and socialism? What a weird, what weird bedfellows they are. Like socialists, communists, and Islam. Like on paper, how does that work? How can they possibly ever work together in any sense, on any level ever? But they do. But they do. Because they feel like they've got a common enemy. Yeah. Good one there, Fallen Firebird. Right on the money, I'd say. All right. Pigdog 5150 says, Citizen Vigilante, which I did watch, didn't I? Spoke about it yesterday, I think. Or was it Friday? Main character frequents brothels and has daddy issues. Bad relationship with father. That's true. He's not a perfectly good character or anything. The complaints it presents re-injustice are fair, but seems psyopish, quite subversive. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. There are some bits about it that are subversive. And that the main character is far from perfect or any sort of role model. Yeah. It's a bit of an odd film. It's an odd film in all sorts of ways. There's loads of bits where you're like, really, why is this bit in it? What are you trying to say with that or that? Still, he takes out a vigilante justice on judges that have let rapists go and on rapists themselves. Okay, all right, that's the last one. That's the last rumble rant. So, super chats, let's go over to our super chats. Got about a dozen or 15 or so. Let's get through these. Global Church History Net number one, reigning, defending, and still. Okay. Global Church History. Today in 713, Merida fell to the Muslims after a year of siege. That would be in Spain, of course, right? It's the Umayyad Caliphate, isn't it? Taking on what would then be the Visigoths. Yeah, the Islamic conquest of Spain. All part of that. Needed a reconquista that lasted 500 years or whatever to get rid of them. Okay, and on this day in 1632, Estonia's first university was founded by Gustavus Adolphus in Tartu. Okay, I don't know anything about the university in Tartu, but I do know a great deal, a fair about Gustavus Adolphus, or Gustav II, King of Sweden. He's one of the big ones. He's really important. He's a great character from history as well, when Sweden was sort of really powerful. He's like a great military man, Adolphus, isn't he? That's what he's famous for, winning battles, like a Swedish Caesar, going around defeating Denmark, defeating Russia, defeating Poland, or the Poland-Lithuania, as it was then. Just going around, he just did battles differently, like Napoleon. No one's ready for it. Battles had been done a certain way for a long time, and Adolphus just looks at it and goes, why don't we just tweak that and change that? Don't do that anymore. That's nonsense. And if we do this like that, then and in that way, then we will always win. And it did. So, yeah, interesting. If you're Swedish, or even if you're not Swedish, check him out. He's a great figure from history, from the 17th century. Okay. Emily Forrestore says, most expensive commute avoidance in Brit history? What's that in reference to? Harry, what might that be in reference to? Sorry. Most expensive commute avoidance. Oh, Andy Burnham working in Manchester. Sorry, it would be. Yeah, sorry. Right, yeah. He just doesn't want to pay for the trains. Yeah. Spend millions and millions and millions on making this new number 10 hub in Manchester, because the trains, I hate waiting for trains and they're really expensive. Yeah. Okay. TYGR8, there's no way to pronounce that as one word. Tigrate says, it's Tuesday, innit? Cheers from Slovenia. Oh, yeah. It's Tuesday, bruv. It's Tuesday, though, cuz you get me. Cheers from Slovenia. Oh, Slovenia, okay. I like it when people are watching from disparate parts of the world. Slovenia, nice. So it's later in the morning there, right? We're ahead of you, so it's like, is it like lunchtime or mid-morning there? Okay. All right. Catcora 7805 says, morning, Bo. Morning. Good morning to you. As the glorious leader of Bo's Britain, who would you place in the Tower of London first? Oh, Boris Johnson or Tony Blair? And how much would you charge for throwing rotten tomatoes at them? Free of charge. Free of charge. Yeah, Boris Johnson, Tony Blair, all the prime ministers, perhaps not Liz Truss. Perhaps not Liz Truss. All the prime ministers since Blair. In fact, whack John Major in there as well. All the living prime ministers and all of their home secretaries, minimum. Minimum. Into the tower with you. Amazing Disgrace 911 says, If Britain allowed mud huts, the migrants could house themselves. Well, I believe that is not exactly mud huts, but shanty towns. You know, in various places you go in the world, on the suburbs of the city, sometimes in the middle of the city, but usually on the suburbs of the city. There's just shanty towns or favelas, and it's just people have got together a few breeze blocks, a few bricks and breeze blocks, a bit of corrugated iron, maybe a tarpaulin, and they've just made a little shack, a hut, out of that. And that's the suburbs of the city now, sometimes sprawling for miles and miles and miles. Yep, that's what we'll get in Britain. At some point, they'll decide you can't just have a tent city right in the middle of London or any city. You can't do that. We'll have to put you to the outskirts, to the suburbs, and cobble together any materials you can, steal some breeze blocks and bricks and a bit of corrugated iron, and just whack up a little shanty town thing. Yeah, that's brilliant. If you're going to flood this country with millions of people and you cannot build enough homes for them, there's just not enough money and resources to do that, they'll build shanty towns Brilliant. Thanks for that. Yeah, it's coming. Oh, it's coming. Unless we press the fix everything button. Remigration, mass remigration. A giant program of sometimes, often, forced mass remigration. They came here against our will. They can go back against theirs if need be. We've got to clear them out. We've got to. Millions must go. Millions. James Lee Pevenhole says, Burnham's plans will be harried, or like the harrying of the North, like William the Conqueror's harrying of the North. Do you think I've got long-form content on Bodade's Epochs, My History theme show behind the paywall on livestreeters.com? Do you consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bonus to your membership? All about the harrying of the North. William the Bastard, William the First's harrying of the North. Oh yeah, it's all there. It's all there. I wonder if that's what you meant. You probably did. Burnham's plans will be harried. Okay. Big Paradox 23 says, that will look great next to my Jimmy Savile mask. What will, oh, the Andy Burnham on the Daily Star, the cutout of the Andy Burnham mask. Great next to my Jimmy Savile mask. Very good, very funny. Thank you for the super chat, sir. Amazing Disgrace again says, asylum seeker is just another term for avoiding justice from native origin. Yeah, yeah. Asylum seeker. You mean you're fleeing justice in your own country, in your country of origin? Are you fleeing justice from your country of origin? Isn't it insane that we don't check that? Basically don't check it most of the time. Oh, you're just an asylum seeker. Are you on the lam? Are you running from justice? Very often they are, aren't they? Very often after they do some sort of insane and despicable, disgusting crime here, then we realise, oh, you're actually wanted in Egypt or Pakistan for a murder there or something. Or Jamaica or whatever. Yeah. Mad. Right. Field Marshal Dawn Browning. What? Thank you, madam. $10. Really, really appreciate it. With just a sort of jumping emoji celebration emoji thing. Cheers, love. Appreciate it. Really honestly appreciate the support. The Field Marshal there. Okay. Dr. Molotov, often very funny on Twitter, Dr. Molotov, superfan, says, for 1 month on NHS spending, £15 billion. Yeah. We could launch your Europa deep ice probe. Imagine all the cool stuff we could have without the welfare state. Yeah, I did a tweet yesterday just atting Elon Musk, saying, again, maybe spend a few billion dollars on a Europa lander that can melt through the ice and then send images back of the subsurface ocean there, because it may be teeming with life, alien life. It would cement your place in history, wouldn't it, Mr. Musk? You'll never see it, but... You want your name to echo through eternity. Be the guy responsible for finding alien life. You'll be the most famous human that has ever lived, probably. If that's what you want. If you want notoriety. Closest thing to immortality, isn't it? You don't actually live on through your children. Like genetically a little bit, but... Your name still be talked about centuries from now, perhaps even millennia from now. Well, it would be. If you was the guy that was responsible, you had the impetus, the funding, and the design and building and launching of the probe that found alien life, yeah, your name would probably be still talked about in millennia, I would have thought. Dear Mr. Musk, do you want to be forgotten in as little as 150 years? I don't think you want that, do you? Do you want to be remembered forever? Forever, ever? Do the Europa probe. I haven't got any ulterior motive. It's not just my personal daydream. No, it is. It is. If I had billions, if I had $1 trillion, I would do it. Or if I was head of SpaceX and I had $1 trillion, I would do that. I would do that. I'd light a fire under it. I'd get a team together and do that. I really would. That would be my pet project. All right. The probe itself probably only cost a few billion. right? The James Webb Space Telescopes cost, I think, about $10 billion, maybe a little less. So it was in that ballpark. And that's James Webb, the most fantastic instrument ever created by human hands. $10 billion odd. Europa Lander, probably less than that, plus the launch costs and everything. Could be the greatest thing humanity ever did so far. All right, I'll move on. Can't keep talking about it. Tatum2733 says, what would you do if a giant bird, like the size of a car, came smashing through the roof, grabbed Harry and flew off, like right now, this moment? I would soil myself, perhaps. That would be terrifying. Would it not? A bird the size of a car, smashed through the roof. We're not even on the top floor. I'd have to smash through multiple floors. Just grabbed Harry and flew away. I might puke with terror. Puke and soil myself from fear. I don't know. No, I wouldn't do that. I might do. I wouldn't. No, I've got an empty stomach. I'll be good. I'm all right. I haven't had breakfast. I'd be probably paralysed by fear. What would you do? Well, I'm going to fight it off. I'm going to get my mug, smash it, and take it on. There's some creatures that, if they were scaled up, would be absolutely monstrous, wouldn't they? You know, some insects, like a centipede. Imagine like a 20-foot-long centipede that's as wide as a man. How monstrous that would be. Or a bird, just a scaled-up bird, a dinosaur-sized modern bird. Just a crow. A crow that's 10 foot tall and weighs 500 pounds. That'd be a terrifying, monstrous creature, wouldn't it? Okay. Anyway, interesting super chat. Tux034 says, it's not just the paper editors are boomers. Their references are aimed at boomers. Yeah. Their main demographic to keep them thinking everything is fine. Yeah. Fleet Street, or a lot of the corporate mainstream media across the board, is made by boomers for boomers, isn't it? Yeah, very much so. Particularly Fleet Street, the British print media, yeah. It's really obvious, isn't it, most days? Constantly referencing stuff from the 70s and 80s, yeah. Okay, and the last one from that same person, TYGR8, don't know how you would say that, Tigerate, says, oh, they just say, it's pronounced Tiger, just stylized for YouTube, haha. Okay, it's just Tiger. I'll try and remember that then for future reference. It's just Tiger. All right, that's the last one. Okay, that's the show. It's now 32 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time, on Tuesday the 30th of June in the year of our Lord 2026. You have been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it isn't a thing. Thank you for watching, as always. I really, really appreciate it. Try and make the best of the day ahead. You know, carpe diem. Seize the day if you can. The most precious thing you will ever have is your time. Far more precious than money, gems, gold, anything like that. That comes and goes. But your time, you only have it once. It's precious. It's truly precious. There's people out there you love that you haven't let know recently. Do make the effort if you can. You never know. You never know. All right, I know it's not always easy to make the best of the day ahead, especially if you've got a life, a job and kids. Sometimes it's basically stolen from you. But if you can, if you're in a position to make this day count, to do something valuable with your time, please do. Please do. You'll never have this day in history again. All right, I don't want to get too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning, then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.